Hi, Sue. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Savita. Are you enjoying being back at school?
Well, we're only going back on Monday.
On Monday?
Yes.
Well, technically, you're always on duty for the children. You're always there.
Yes, yes. No, we do send them work also. As we said, the COVID research includes recent material that has not been peer-reviewed or thoroughly tested. But however, like Artemisia, olive leaves and Kulunji have served as well for thousands of years as natural medicines. And of course, as we said, our intent is not to diagnose or treat, but merely to share the information on herbal remedies. So what I want to ask you, we did say it's winter 2020, and we need to fight infections. So why do we need to take extra precautions against COVID infections during winter?
Well, because, you know, we're huddling closer together inadvertently. You know, we're not all, you know, the social distancing becomes more difficult. And also during winter, we have our usual colds and flu to contend with. And you don't always know when you cough or you sneeze whether you're coming down with the dreadache, if it could encourage people to not get any type of cold or flu. And in doing so, we will get ourselves free of the COVID virus as well, don't you think?
Yes. So therefore, it's very important for us to ensure that our immune system is on top notch.
That's right. And that's what we're going to talk about a lot today as well, because, you know, we're tired of hearing about hand washing and masks and staying apart from each other and being locked down. What exactly is that doing to help our immune system, Zuleika?
Yes.
Quite a sharp question, isn't it? Nobody's explaining it.
I think it's very, very important that we times yes. because the vitamin D is also very, very good.
Yes, it is. It is one of our most important natural remedies. And to the degree they say that you are vitamin D deficient, you know, if you don't get enough of that sunshine, you're making yourself far more vulnerable, especially to the COVID, the whole group of infections. So
yes.
let's appreciate the sun. It's beautifully shining today and bright and warm, and it's doing us good.
Yes. So we do normally see lots of adverts for cough mixtures like Med Lemon Vicks and so on. Do they actually kill viruses?
You know, we never think they do, because they generally just offer symptomatic relief. You know, if you've got a sore throat, you suck a strips on, and if you've got a cough, you take whatever cough mixture you can, and you take analgesics. You know, they're saying with the COVID that you should take aspirins to bring down the fever and that, but as we know, aspirins are not a good idea for small children. So to be on the safe side, rather take the Panado.
Okay.
But it's symptomatic relief. But inadvertently built into things like these Med Lemons and Vicks products, you find that there are things that actually can kill bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most unusual ones is licorice.
Mm-hmm.
And they use the licorice to kill a specific three groups of what they call gram-negative bacteria. You know, whether they're positive or negative, that's just up to the laboratory. But the three most virulent pneumonia types of bacteria are gram-negative. So if you're taking a lot of licorice, and the Chinese give you licorice root decoction, you know, like a licorice tea or herbs that contain licorice, it actually kills that bacteria in its tracks. So that one is antibacterial. And we know that ginger is antiviral, for
yes.
instance. And the most common one that they're really making people try and get off as much of as possible now is vitamin C. They
mm-hmm.
say it is definitely, definitely antiviral. So
mm-hmm.
that's a good thing. But the easiest way to get hold of licorice is with the Lennon's Borscht Triples. You know,
I never knew that. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
that's a very good source of licorice.
And yes.
The other nice thing about licorice is that it helps your irritated throat. You know, the dry coughing and the scratchy throat, what they call a dry cough is supposed to be something as part of the onslaught of dreaded COVID. But
yes.
sometimes we get a dry cough. And I think particularly teachers, when you have to stand up there and talk and talk and talk.
Yes.
Talk on the radio, you get a dry cough. And taking your licorice can be very good for you in getting all the mucous membranes to
Okay, how would we take the Boris triples?
Well, you can take as directed, or you can just take a few drops here and there. You can just, you know, you can just put the bottle over into the, your palm of your hand and just lick it.
Okay, but it has got a lot of alcohol also.
I don't think it's got much alcohol. It's like a thick, syrupy liquid.
Okay.
It's not like those other cough mixtures, and especially, you know, people who were deprived of their usual alcohol were drinking more of the,
okay,
the cough mixtures that contain the herbal things. But that's not the intention. Yeah. The intention is just to treat a cough.
Yes.
And if you don't want to use the Boris triples, the easiest way to treat a cough is with, say, lemon juice and honey.
Yes.
And my mother had a very strange one of grating up a fresh onion.
Yes.
And mixing that with honey. And she said that is what, in 1918, during the flu, they used lots of cut raw onions lying all over the place to prevent the virus.
Yes, I've heard about that. Then one takes onion and sugar. And they let it keep it for like 24 hours, and then the syrup is a cough mixture.
Yes. It absorbs all the germs.
Yeah. When it comes to anything with alcohol, if we leave it, before the alcohol evaporates, so you don't have to have it immediately. Or you put it in some warm water and that also.
Warm water does clear the alcohol.
Yes, yes.
But a few drops like that, I would not panic about. You're not drinking it for the wrong reason.
Yes, no, I do understand.
And the reason that there is an alcohol in herbal medicine,
yes,
for your own safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with all these hand sanitizers, what is the alcohol doing?
Yes.
It's not making people intoxicated. It's killing germs. And the reason herbs are soaked in the alcohol is to preserve them. And they can last 10, 20, 30 years in that alcoholic tincture.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you soak the water in water or something else, then they become very rotten. So the alcohol is being used as a preservative. The other thing that a tiny bit of it, polyphenols and chemicals, it helps to pull them right into the bloodstream. And within 10 minutes, the liver then clears out that alcohol again. So it's done for medicinal reasons.
Yes.
And as I said, there is the option of doing without the alcohol. But
mm-hmm.
Certainly when you're taking the tincture and you're putting a few drops of the tincture into the warm water, there's nothing to worry about.
Yes. You also did mention that we can use it to inhale, a steam inhalation.
You can use some of the common things we can find at the chemist. If you mix them with boiling water and
mm-hmm.
put a towel over a pot and you inhale it,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of excitement now about eucalyptus oil. You say it kills the virus.
Oh, is it?
but it's basically that very hot steam. Now, a normal very hot bath is about 40 degrees. So water that's 60 degrees centigrade is what comes out of the kettle.
Okay.
So be careful not to burn yourself. But
yes.
If you even put another cloth over the pot, and then your head over that, and then you steam yourself. That steam with the eucalyptus oil, or you can use the camphor blocks. I bought some blocks of camphor from the shop, the Chinese shop.
Yeah.
Now those would be very nice. You can crumble them, and you can sort of put them near your mask, or scatter them around the house, and it really also helps to clean out the nose. All the things that contain eucalyptus or camphor or the fries, balsam, you think of all those old things. There are chemicals in all those old-fashioned medicines that specifically are antiviral or antibacterial. We didn't even know it, you know. We just take all these things thinking, oh, well, you know, you go to the chemist and you get your throat lozenges and your cough mixture. But deep inside there, the natural ones have got antiviral and antibacterial agents that are built in. You know, obviously, not enough to wipe out coronas for the Cape Town, but it can be useful.
Yes, as a preventive also.
Yes.
The Artemisia or pine oil also have components that can be effective.
Yes, again, pine, eucalyptus, camphor, Artemisia, also the Kalinji even has got some of those, what they call thymols and quinones and...
Yes.
terpenols, and oh, you can go on and on about essential oils. But as any aromatherapist will tell you, inhaling those oils has a very good effect also on the brain and on the mood. They use those oils to calm us down and to make us feel good. And something like lavender oil, if you rub that into the arches of your feet and under your feet and around your feet before you go to bed, it's very soothing. It has an anti-inflammatory effect. And it also helps you to breathe because it's also got, within the complexity of a lavender oil, you've also got thyme and the thyme and all the eucalyptus notes. They're all built into the lavender oil. But I read somewhere that the most potent one for a baby that can't breathe is you take, they're just pure thyme. You know, it's not the clock thyme, but the thyme herb.
Yes.
Take handfuls of thyme and you pour boiling water over that, and the steam that comes off that is actually the very best one for helping people to breathe.
Okay.
Much better than a ventilator, by the way.
Yes, hopefully that's not needed. Tell me, what about the plain iodine from the pharmacy? Oh,
that
is it
little bottle, you know, the little bottle you used to put on all the cuts and bruises and grazes is invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
Elemental iodine, it's called. And I know we're always talking about Lugol's iodine,
yes,
because
yes,
it's got potassium iodide on. That's mainly because we're trying to look after the thyroid gland.
Okay.
But the straight elemental iodine, the stuff that makes your skin go dark brown or yellow if you put it on, that thing kills every known germ and virus on this planet,
mm-hmm,
is what some of the researchers say, especially people like Dr. Brownstein. That I'm quoting him, not myself. I wouldn't know. But you always take a bit of iodine with you when you are on a hike or climbing a mountain or something, in case you come across water you want to drink and you're scared it's contaminated.
Okay.
And you put a few drops of iodine into the drinking water to make it safe enough to drink. I may add that it tastes terrible.
Yes.
But you won't get any germs. And that flavor doesn't really dissipate out the water. But what we often do is we add iodine to other remedies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with the family being dosed with iodine during the COVID time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can put, say, a few drops through the fruit juice in the mornings or add it to other things. It will definitely go through your body and it will seek and kill bacteria you didn't even know you had.
Okay.
Hopefully it doesn't wipe out everything, but a little bit of iodine every day is beneficial to everybody because they say that 90% of us are horribly deficient in iodine.
Okay.
That's a cheap way of doing it. What I also like doing with iodine is putting a few drops in the soap, the hand sanitizer, and you can mix it into the hand cream.
Yes.
Now, if you want the color to go away from iodine, just add something acidic and it won't come out brown on your skin. It'll come out colorless. Mm-hmm. So you can add a little bit of vinegar to it or a little bit of vitamin C. It takes away some of its magical powers, but it won't leave you with brown hands.
Okay.
Stains all over the place. So that's how you get rid of an iodine stain. You add a bit of acid and it just goes away.
So sometimes people struggle for oxygen, and is there any way to help them until they can get medical help?
Well, you know, they always tell you, go to a doctor, go to hospital, but as we know, it doesn't happen a minute later.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get in the car, you've got to travel, and in the meantime, people are panicking. Now, the first thing you must learn is don't let them lie on the back.
Okay.
Because your lungs have to then resist even the pressure, the weight of your body. So stand them up or lean them over, and then, of course, we're going to talk about the steaming, which we've already discussed. And if you've got them in the car and you're trying to keep them breathing while they go to hospital, I would suggest you pour the water into a thermos flask.
Okay.
You put in your eucalyptus oil or whatever you've got to help with steaming. Put a towel over and then let them hold it as close or far away from the mouth as possible. That will help with the steam. But the most magical trick I've learned is if you want to actually inhale oxygen.
Yes.
Because in the hospital, they're going to put you on the augmented oxygen treatment.
Yes.
If you want to do that treatment at home, it's a little bit labor intensive. But hydrogen peroxide,
mm-hmm,
what is hydrogen peroxide? It's mainly oxygen. It's bound up to the hydrogen, five oxygen molecules. Now, to release that, you mix it with, a liter of steamy water.
Mm-hmm.
You put in a tablespoon of bicarbonate of soda. And then you stir in a tablespoon of hydrogen peroxide, and it fizzes up like mad. And okay. It releases a surge of oxygen, which you,
okay.
of course, trap. You make an oxygen tent over the sink with a towel on your head. So even cold, you can do that into a bottle with quite a narrow neck or a face funnel, and then you put the bicarb and the peroxide in, and you shake it up. Let the person draw the air out of there while you get them to hospital.
Okay.
And even at the hospital, you're going to wait.
Yes.
So take extra bicarb and peroxide with you, and you might need to make or top up the reaction. But that's just a wonderful, easy, reassuring thing to know that you can make your own respirator, and that's how you would do it.
Yes. And three drops of hydrogen peroxide in a glass of water is also recommended.
Yes, for drinking.
They
say that brings nascent oxygen into the body. That means newly made oxygen. But just remember, folks, all this talk about oxygen. There's something you have to do when there's a lot of oxidative activity going on, and that is take antioxidants like vitamin C,
mm-hmm.
vitamin E, vitamin A. Oxidative stress is one of the most dangerous things that we have to face with COVID virus, especially when you get into what they call the respiratory crisis, and when the body's making a lot of inflammation and it gets into the cytokine storms. We're talking mainly of oxidative stress. That's also oxygen. You see, the body's trying to also kill everything with oxygen. Make sure that the patients are on a steady supply of vitamin C. And they're saying ballpark, the average amount we need in a day from now on is about 3 grams a day. And you do that in divided doses. As we know, vitamin C is a water-based vitamin. So it's going to wishy-washy out your body within 2 or 3 hours. It's gone again.
Mm-hmm.
So rather take a whole vitamin C lozenge or powder or whatever you've got, divide it up into divided doses and drink little bits. And the other problem is some people are so sensitive to vitamin C that it immediately loosens their bowel.
Mm-hmm.
So if like these naturopathic doctors say, well, take a few grams here and there and there and there and dose all your hospital patients every hour, I tell you, all the toilets will be full and all the beds will be empty. Too much vitamin C goes beyond bowel tolerance.
Yes, too much of it.
People are sick, they can actually tolerate a lot more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can do no.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, any sugar, any glucose, will occupy the same receptor in the body as the vitamin C.
Okay.
So if you have a spoonful of sugar with your vitamin C, the sugar...
Would that have sugar?
I think it does. Whoops. It's worth checking out, but some of it will go down, but ideally you need just the straight ascorbic acid. And
mm-hmm.
people mustn't come and tell me, oh, ascorbic acid is not good enough for me. I need proper vitamin C. I need to, squeeze up a hunk given to the chemical.
Mm-hmm.
That Linus Pauling actually won 2 Nobel Prizes. Say, oh, I only use natural vitamin C. The biggest danger with the natural vitamin C is it gets too close to sugar.
Yes.
Orange juice has also got sugar in it. So your vitamin C is the amount that can actually be active is lessened to the degree you add your sugar. So the whole COVID thing is designed, again, to keep you off sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also designed to make you take in a lot of bitter things, because quinine happens to be one of the strange partners in treating the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And the skins, the peels of oranges and the peels, especially of grapefruit, are very rich in quinine. And quinine is incredibly bitter. So another free thing you can do for yourself is to peel a grapefruit with a potato peeler, all around, all that oil, and you pour boiling water over that. And then if you put vitamin C with that and you drink it, you'll have something that's incredibly sour and incredibly bitter. And incredibly good. But the nice thing about drinking that grapefruit, the quinine water, they call it,
mm-hmm.
is it has another benefit, and that is to help control your blood sugar fluctuations.
Oh, okay.
It switches off the pancreas in its tracks. Boom. So grapefruit oil, citrus oil, will stop you from having insulin roller coasters or any sugar cravings. And when I tried it out in the morning, I found I wasn't interested in food for the rest of the day. So
oh, that's good.
It's a little slimming trick.
Okay, that's nice. We have always spoken about Kulunji oil. Are there any new studies to show how it is helping the COVID patients?
Yes, there are. And thanks to people like you who send me lots of news information about it, there's studies that came from the Talba University.
From Medina.
They did a lot of studies. Uh-huh. And they, what we call, you know, because there isn't a lot of time for scientific study, give one half of the patients this and the other half that, let's see what happens. And they were very, very successful in treating the COVID-19
yes.
patients with about a teaspoon of the seeds mixed up with the honey.
Yeah.
Again, honey's got sugar, so watch it. But it's better than trying to eat all those seeds on their own.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can just have some of the Nigella oil is equally good.
Yes.
But they found out that even with patients on ventilators, I do want to tell you that the ventilators in South Africa are notorious for sending people to the morgue. They don't work. They are not working. And 90% of the people, my neighbors are nurses, and she said, you know, the chances of someone coming out of that ventilator alive are very, very slim. She hasn't seen one come out alive yet. So by giving... But now this morning in South Africa, there was a news item saying that they've realized that the ventilators are not saving people, and so they're just going to do augmented oxygen therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, you won't end up under one of those things, Zuleika. You just keep breathing your oxygen water, and you're taking your vitamin C and your Kulunji oil, and you won't go near a hospital. That's for sure.
Yes. Sue, I think the study also spoke about chamomile. So it spoke about...
Yes, they mixed the Nigella seeds with the chamomile, and they mixed it with one of our favorites, which is clove powder.
Yes.
Again, all these hidden chemicals in our favorite foods and spices never fail to amaze us. I think it's totally wonderful that we had them there all along.
Yeah, I just wanted to know about the chamomile. Now, you get chamomile flowers... You know, because I tried to go buy some chamomile, but then they only had the flowers. So I was wondering, you know, how should one use the flowers, grind it, or what should one do?
Well, traditionally with chamomile, you used to make chamomile tea.
Yes, yes.
And it helps people to sleep and to relax.
Yes.
And I know it's calming, feel-good factors are more around the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that it does have antibacterial properties as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can use it for dressing wounds and that. But if you're using it on the skin, I would rather use calendula. But it's good to know that Granny wasn't wrong when she ran out into the field and she picked a few handfuls of the whole chamomile plant. You know, the green leaves, I think, are also very active.
Mm-hmm.
So the flowers and the leaves and all that, and she would have... squeeze it all up and poured water on it and breathe it in and sip that tea, I think it would have also been very effective, because I don't know if you've ever smelt fresh chamomile leaves, like, but they've got that herby smell, you know, the herby tiny eucalyptus smell. They've got a strong smell. So it's worth doing, but the Kulunji oil alone or using the seeds, the chamomile I don't think is an essential part of that treatment. I haven't seen it before.
Okay.
But it's good to know, because, I mean, even cinnamon.
We are told that they make up over 60% of the...
in the gut. They also play a strong role in fighting off things that become, especially the foods that we swallow and go down into the digestive system. They are made to make sure that all the pathogens are removed from there. And they also support the immune system, that thing. So if the whole gut biome... is out of sequence and a lot of the bacteria are missing. And you may say, why are they missing? They are usually killed off by antibiotics.
Yes.
And it's a very bad thing when the doctor says, oh, give an antibiotic just in case, and you must finish the whole course. If you take that antibiotic like that, you are going to wipe out your immune system. So do you listen to what you know about the immune system now, or do you listen to your doctor?
Yeah.
If your doctor tells you to take antibiotics as a prophylactic, Chinese patients, they found that the worst patients happen to all, by coincidence, have very, very few gut bacteria left in their biomes. The whole thing was disturbed and disrupted from all the use of the antibiotics. And you cannot kill a virus with an antibiotic. A virus is 100 times smaller than a bacterium. And the antibiotics are only going to kill the bacteria. And the bacteria are not causing the coronavirus infection. So giving antibiotics just by rote, just slap, boom, bang, because they've always done it, is not the best way to go.
So
they are saying a lot of vitamin C, and I think that is a better idea.
Yes.
If you want to specifically kill the bacteria that's causing problems with the lungs, licorice is the one to take.
Okay, so we just have to move on because there's not much time. You did give us a natural tip about the grapefruit skins, and you said it kills most microbes, including viruses. Then is there another one, and I know which one you're going to talk about, because we always, I think in every talk we talk about the olive leaf.
Yes, we've spoken often about them. And on the notes today, you can click on the paper and it will take you to all the times we've spoken about the olive leaf remedies. And you know, Janeka, I actually made some olive tea.
Oh, okay.
And it was very nice, especially the second cup wasn't so bitter. It tasted exactly like green tea.
Okay.
The nice thing is it doesn't have caffeine in it.
Yes,
and
yes.
There's no alcohol, there's no caffeine. And, you know, I've always been saying if you put too much hot water on the olive leaf, you destroy their properties. But it seems that it doesn't destroy too many of them.
Yes.
So that's something very important, is do what the rest of the world is doing, and they're going mad about the Artemisia.
Yes.
And they say it definitely does cure the COVID virus. And our grandmothers could have told us that, and their grandmothers could have told us that. In Africa, we've got a lot of natural herbs that have protected us from the colds and flu for generation after generation. So Artemisia is one of those. And one that has always done that, but we don't really realize, was the olive leaf. That's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you combine that with the kalunji, the ground of kalunji, you'll get the three most potent remedies against the COVID virus. And that's what I'm focusing on at the moment, is to get all the research up there and loaded onto the doctor's CPD portals. They've now got all that data. And the next thing we're going to do very soon is bring out a tea bag that is made up out of olive leaf and artemisia. And then we're going to also make capsules. We're not going to call them anti-COVID capsules. We're going to make them called artemisia capsules. But they're going to have kalinji seeds in them, and they're going to have olive leaf powder in.
Great.
So all you need to do then is just swallow one of those, and you don't have to do any of these natural remedies. Wouldn't that be lovely?
It would be great. We'll go for a break. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Janeka. It was lovely talking to you.
Into Abidhan.
Everybody, keep well and keep the COVID at bay. Thank you very much. Shukran.